All right. Extend the greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon this time together. Lord, we just ask that you would help us to hear your words. Father, to hear you speaking to us from above. And follow, Lord, and listen. Again, we just thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Again, glad to be here this morning. Trying to work off a sneezing fit here. Bear with me a minute. All right. I want to just start with the young boys' lesson. I don't know. We sit here week after week, and sometimes we ask for the children to how they might improve themselves. And I don't know about you, but it sounds like a broken record almost. They say the same thing every week that they're asked to do something. They're not proven as far as I just wanted to encourage you. Think about what you're actually saying when you stand up. I mean, we talk about people confessing just to get their conscience to feel better, but it doesn't ever move them to change. And so if you're confessing the same thing over and over every week, whether just not being faithful or not doing your chores or not getting along with your children, your brothers and sisters, whatever it is, quit confessing it and start doing it. Show some improvement. I just want to encourage you. We get in a rut, and it's pretty easy to do. I got to go say my lesson, and then we confess the same old little thing we see every week and do every week. But I just want to. We're not doing this just to get the lesson done. Or just so we sound better because we say the right thing. The point is for you to actually improve yourselves. So think about that as you give your lesson. And then you go through the week. Don't wipe your, got that over with, and then just forget what you said. Go home today and practice what you want to improve. And what you see you need to improve. So praise the Lord. You've got a wonderful opportunity, you young people. You don't realize, I can't stress enough, how good of an opportunity you have right before you. And how there's so many people in the world don't have the least bit of this kind of a chance and opportunity. So take advantage of it. The song we sang, This last one we're just saying, I want another little bit of a verse 3, says, stanza 3, at night my gladness is my prayer, I drop my daily load, and every care is pillowed there upon the thought of God. Tyler mentioned about how much problem we bring upon ourselves. Life is and can be just very simple, and we just make it complicated. I mean, how much do we worry and trouble ourselves about all the things? You know, there's the song, Take It to the Lord in Prayer. And not just take it and ramble it, just like we're talking about, just this, blah, 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 just talking. Saying our prayer, but pillow it there. Leave it there. You drop your daily load. That's the purpose of prayer. It's just like the confession thing. We say it, and we just, okay, Lord, I did this, I did that, or I was wrong, I need this, give me that, fix this. And then we go to bed and sit there and worry about all the things, or lay there and worry about all the things that we just got through telling the Lord about. Well, we didn't get through. We didn't. You just as well, you'll play a video game instead of say prayers like that. A prayer is when you leave it there. If we trust God with these things, when you take something to Him, you give it to Him and leave it in His hands. We'll give it to Him and then steal it from Him and not even let Him fix it. This next line says, I ask not far before to see, but take in trust my road. Life, death, and immortality are in my thoughts of God. Like the same thing again. I mean, we stress and we worry. It'll be all right. And we can either try to carry all these loads ourselves and be weighed down, or we can lay them at the Lord. All right, let's open our Bibles to First. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28 first. Jesus says, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward so as to believe him. Okay, first of all, we see this man that told his son to go work in the vineyard. And the first one just said, I will not go. I don't want to do it. But then he regretted that and he went and did it. You know, it's not always easy to follow the Lord. And whenever He shows us something, a lot of times our first, you know, whenever we're really serious about this, our first response to this is, oh no, I don't want to do this. Or no, I can't do this. But then as we think about it, we see that this is what I need to do. This is what needs to be done. You see, it's not about the emotional, just doing things out of rote or doing things out of habit, religiously. That's the problem with religious. It's just something that's done out of habit. And good habits are good, but being religious in our habits, they become vain. There's nothing to it. There's no value to it. There's no choice in it. Sometimes we see what God wants us to do, and you know, we all want to think about, oh yeah, I'm just ready to do what the Lord wants us to do. And so we just are glad to say, yes, yeah, I'll do whatever God asks me to do. I'll do whatever He wants me to do. And we want to tell everybody that. And we want to make sure everybody knows that we're faithful and we love the Lord and we'll do whatever He wants us to do. But the one that was commended here was the one who wasn't out front saying, I'll do the Lord's will. Lord, send me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. This was the guy that said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. And we can get in that rut too and just say no and not do what we're supposed to do. But this man, after thinking about it, he thought about it. And he recognized that I need to obey. I need to do it. Maybe he didn't even like it at first. But he went and did it anyway. He did what he needed to do. And Jesus commended him for it. He used this as a parable about this was the honest man. He just did it, not because he felt like it, not because it was fun, not because it was the exciting thing to do, but it was because he was asked to do it. And that's the blessing of it. He did it for the Lord's sake, not for his own. Most of our religion, a lot of religion, we're just doing it for ourselves. We're just doing it because it's exciting to do. And the boys talked about chores today. Doing chores, you know, the first few times you do them, you get a new pet or something. And, oh, I want to feed it, I want to feed it, I want to feed it. And then after about a month, oh no, it's time to feed the old dog again. You just don't want to do it anymore. It's not fun anymore. But what do? Oh yeah, I'll feed it. And then you get busy and you forget to feed it. And it don't matter. But then you think, the other one said, I don't want to feed that dog. I'm so tired of feeding the dog. But he's got to eat. And so you go do it. Not necessarily grudgingly, but it's a need you need to do. It's just something you need to do. Jesus was using this example or parable. He said, truly. Then Jesus, after he explained all of that to him, he said to the religious people, he said, truly, he said, the tax collectors and the prostitutes will enter the kingdom of heaven before you will. You know, we talk about obedience. And we believe we ought to obey. We believe we need to keep the teachings of Jesus. But if we're doing it, and these people were keeping the commandments, they were doing it, they were keeping these things. But Jesus told them, the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get to heaven before you. You know, we fight against the influences of just this free grace and just mercy, and you don't have to do anything but say a prayer. And so we teach that you keep the teachings of Jesus and that you obey, that it's obedience that's important. And it is. But it's easy to get, just go from one side of it to the other. Just jump from one, just like a pendulum swinging. One, grace works. Grace works, this whole thing. Following Jesus is taking all of what he said, not just all the mercy, and not just all the grace, and not just all the works. There's an in-between there. What made the difference here? The tax collectors and prostitutes get in before you. What was the... why? Why did it go that way? Why did Jesus say that? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is what He's called us to rise above, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Not a bunch of religious people, not just a bunch of people who know how to keep the rules, but someone who actually wants to listen and hear God. I want to read the next verse here. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Okay, they were not the people of God, and now they are the people of God. What brought them to become the people of God? You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You once were not the people of God. You once had not received mercy. But now you are the people of God and you have received mercy. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His mercy that He saved us. There is not one thing that we can do as far as trying to create being the people of God. We are all brought there through mercy. It's because God had mercy upon us to bring us to this place. The religious people here, they didn't need mercy. They had it all down pat. The prostitutes and the tax collectors, they didn't have nothing to offer at all. They could receive this mercy that God was offering them. That is what transfers us into the kingdom of God. Receiving what God has to offer us. Most of us don't need it. We've got it. Mercy. You know, I've heard it explained one time about forget that. Mercy is one of the teachings that Jesus had. You can't take away from obeying and doing what's right. We see that. We see that part of it. But love, mercy, and justice, it's just like a dove, a bird. You can't fly with one wing. They cannot do it. It takes both of the wings for them to fly. Some people get all the grace and all the mercy, and they don't have any obedience. They can't fly. Some people have all the obedience, but they know nothing of grace and mercy and love. Compassion. They don't. It seems like one of the hardest things in the world to get together. To be able to fly. It just doesn't happen. It's so easy just to get one wing and not the other. But it takes both to fly. They became the peace of people of God because they've obtained mercy. You know, mercy is nothing that we deserve ourselves. No one deserves it. But we have to receive it. Any of us can receive it. But how many of us will receive it? One of the things, you know, I've seen people talk about mercy. But you can't actually show mercy until you've received it yourself. You can't actually know what it is to forgive until you've actually received it yourself. You've been forgiven. You can't know how to do it yourself until you've received it. That's how we become the people of God. Receiving the things that God wants to give us, then we can be a priesthood to give it to somebody else. If you try to create mercy and forgiveness by yourself, you're not a people of God. It's all coming from yourself. We know these things. We know mercy and compassion and forgiveness one way, by receiving it ourselves. That's hard to do. We're too proud just to humble ourselves and take mercy. Just like in our prayers, we confess it. You know, it sounds humble to confess things, but to actually lay it there and let God have it, that takes faith. That takes trust. That takes humility to say, there's nothing I can do about this. This is in your hands. But we're so proud, we don't want that. We want to be able to do it ourselves. We want to be able to say on the Lord, look what I did. But that won't fly on the judgment day. There won't be one person that's acceptable by God that isn't there outside of mercy and outside of God's forgiveness and God's grace. Not one person. These people that Jesus said heard him, they heard what he said because his message was full of grace, full of mercy. It was there, offered to them. And they didn't just take it and trample on it. Say, oh, God's grace will cover it now. I got it. I'm gone. They actually experienced that mercy so that they could become the people of God. A royal priesthood. They actually experienced, they took it for themselves so that they could give it to others. That's what it talks about, a river of living water coming from, I'll put it within you, a river of living water. Is that just all joy and excitement and fun all the time? No. That river of living water is reflecting what you've experienced yourself to give to somebody else. It isn't always fun. It isn't always something we're just giddy to do. Sometimes we don't want to do it. But we do it because we've tasted mercy ourselves. We've tasted that forgiveness ourselves. Because we actually pillowed it whenever we talked to God about it. We didn't just talk to him and lay it at his feet and then take it up again before we even say amen. He didn't take it because we didn't give it to him. We just mocked him. You know, if you would have offer somebody something, you know, somebody that needed some money or something, and you offer them the money and they reach for it and you just, no, I think that wouldn't be very nice, would it? How is it with our prayers when we pray to God, say, God, here it is. You can have it. And then about the time he reaches for it, you can't have it. We confess. Oh, God, here it is. And then just as soon as we get ready to get up, we just take it right back. He's offering mercy and grace, peace and rest. And how many times do we just steal it away from him? Steal it from ourselves. I don't know the reasons. I don't know the... But it's there if we want it. I think these tax collectors and prostitutes got to the place where that's what they wanted. They didn't care right or who was right or wrong, who did this, who wouldn't do this, who would. It was there. They were offered mercy. And they wanted it. They wanted it. Doesn't matter whose fault it is. My own fault? Somebody else's? God offering mercy to us. He's the one we owe it to. We don't owe it to ourselves. We don't owe it to anyone else. He's the one we owe it to. He's the one extending it. Trying to give it to us. Read just the verses in mercy. How many times the people came to Jesus and said, "Have mercy upon us." The blind man, "Lord, have mercy upon me." How many times the people in the Bible, and every time the people that were living came to Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy upon us," He gave it to them. It wasn't because they just said the right magic words. It's because they needed mercy. They wanted mercy. And it was there. The only verse that I could see was the man who had died. And he didn't ask it for himself. He said, "Lord, have mercy." Well, maybe he did. "Have mercy upon me and bring one drop of water. Lord, have mercy." And that was denied. Because the time of mercy was over. He had been offered it. And it just wasn't that important to him. We talk about a lot of things. But if we don't start right here, we don't get anywhere. We can talk about all kinds of things to obey. And it's kind of fun when you start out, when you've tasted the mercy, to find what pleases the Lord. But you got to taste the mercy first. Because that's where the rivers of living water comes from. The rivers of living water don't come from, "Oh, I've kept this rule. I've kept this regulation. I've done this. I've done that. I've been a good person. I've been a nice person." That's not where rivers of living water come from. That's not where this stuff comes from. It comes from God because we have tasted forgiveness. We have tasted His mercy. We have tasted His grace. Then you have a foundation to build on. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. You know, we hear the phrase, "Take it or leave it." Take it and leave it. Take it and leave it. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your help, Your inspiration, Father. We thank You for all that You do for us. We just ask You to help us, Father. Be partakers of this grace and this mercy, Lord, that we might reflect it to others. Again, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone have anything you want to share?
hard time and make mistakes that we didn't maybe we learn.
Amen.
So it's through the testing and the temptation to bitterness or anger or whatever, and the failures that we go through as we get older. We just hang in there, God's able to show us.
Amen. That becoming the people of God, that's how the church works. Because we've tasted mercy, we can have mercy with each other. That's why so much doesn't work when you just put the rules and laws and everything on it. They haven't tasted mercy. It's not built on what God said the people of God are made of. And that's how it works. That's why it may not look too perfect or too pretty sometimes. But if there's mercy there, it'll work. If there's grace there, it'll work.
And it's easy to forgive that this life isn't permanent. And it's like, I was thinking about the tax collectors and the prostitutes. And it's like, for mercy to be granted, you have to accept it.
Right.
And the prostitutes were probably at a point where they wanted to accept it. And the tax collectors too, because I'm sure that they did things that they didn't want to do that job.
Sure.
I mean, as far as taking money from widows, taking money from orphans, taking money from people who didn't have it, and you're seeing all this, and you're like, you shouldn't be doing it, but it's still got to be done. I mean, somebody's going to do it, you know? And it's just a lot. You cannot help somebody that doesn't want to be helped. I mean, that's for sure. And you can't give somebody mercy who doesn't want to receive it.
Right.
It's really easy to get caught up. Like, I watch my brother and I watch other people and they're making all this money, and you know, my brother probably weighs 400 pounds. It's like, what good's this money going to do for you in 10 years? You know, I mean, you're going to die. And it's like, it's just not. Mm-hmm. And it's just easy to get the pride of life when you're rich and when you're, but I mean, Jesus said, blessed is the poor.
Right.
And that makes a lot of sense because they go through the struggles of life. They are the Lazarus in this world, you know, and then rich people just don't see it, you know. I was at, and I get like that too, and I've been on the streets and everything else too, and we were coming out of Save-A-Lot yesterday, and there was a guy with a sign asking him for money, and he was smoking a cigarette, and he had a pack of cigarettes. I was like, I'm not giving you any money. It's like, if you had enough money to buy a pack of cigarettes, you could have bought some food, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I will help somebody that really won't sell, but,
sure,
you know, it's just hard to kind of, you got to be around the person a little bit to decide if they won't help or not, you know?
All right. Well, Lord bless you. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock, Lord willing.
From every soul.